Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
This is yours truly, Pastor C, in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank God I'm able to get back on the line tonight. I'm having some difficulty with sinuses, but thank God that through prayer and the Holy Spirit, God was able to get me back on the right track, and I'm glad to be back tonight in Bible study. I believe I have on the line with me tonight my big sister, Sheila G. on the line.
Yes, I am.
Praise God. And my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, are you on the line, sir?
We're here.
Praise God. Good to be able to get together and study the Word again. As we get ready to close out the end of the year, we look back through 2018 with grateful eyes to know that it was God's grace and His mercy that has brought us through. So with that, we're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to get started. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Sheila G., we're studying the book of Acts, and in the book of Acts, it's the history of the first century church, the early church. And on the last time we were together, we were talking about how that they were able to get on one accord and carry out the basics of what God had left on record for them to do, and the importance of the church of the 21st century to also stay on one accord and carry out what God left on record for us to do. And we were talking about how basic and how uncomplicated it should be. And I know one of the acronyms that you used was KISS, or Keep It Simple.
Yeah.
And there's this tendency for us to try to put too much of us in it and not enough of God. And so things like Bible study and Sunday school and vacation Bible school and all the things that we grew up with, for a lot of people, that's not glamorous enough. And so they try to interject other things to try to make it more appealing. But Jesus' ministry was basic, and it met the needs of the people, and it carried out the will of his Father. And I believe that if we keep our ministry basic and we strive to carry out the will of the Father through the power of the Holy Spirit, then that is all that's required from us of God. And God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And, you know, every Christian, every saint of God wants to hear their Heavenly Father one day tell them, "Well done, good and faithful servant, that you've been faithful over a few things, and that you will be called up higher to be ruler over many." And so in the early church, in this first chapter of the book of Acts, we see them sticking to the basic, sticking to being on one accord. And as we pick up in Acts down in verse 15, it talks about how they were on one accord and they were dealing with the issue of Judas. Who had betrayed Jesus and ultimately committed suicide, how they were dealing with issues of the church by being on one accord. And that's what I want to talk about tonight, Sheila G, is that there is an example in the Word of God to deal with any situation or circumstance in the church. And so we just have to stay on one accord with leaning to God, the Holy Spirit, to deal with situations in church. And a lot of times people try to bring the world into it, try to bring, you know, what thus said me and thus said you into it instead of what thus said the Lord. And early on, the church had to deal with the situation of Judas betraying Jesus. And so they were in a position where they needed to carry on church business and to get another apostle, another disciple to be in the ministry. And that was just one of the things that they had to deal with. And they went about it in, I would call it, a very unspectacular way, and just seeking the Holy Spirit and doing what God wants to do to deal with the church. And, you know, it seems like too many churches find themselves what they call church polity, or the politics of church gets into humanism instead of godly wisdom to deal with it. And what happens is it affects the church. People get mad. People leave the church. People talk about it bad about the church, because they're not on one accord with God about dealing with matters in the church. And it's so important to understand that there's going to be issues, there's going to be things that arise in the church that have to and must need be dealt with. But the thing is to be on one accord in the Word of God and that you can deal with them. But don't have this unrealistic a notion that everything is going to be pretty and hunky-dory in the church. I mean, they were dealing with a serious issue here with one of them betraying Jesus and committing suicide, and there was a need to continue ministry. And I'm sure you and Dr. G understand the importance of continuing ministry in spite of the challenges of ministry and the importance of staying on one accord. Sheila G.
Amen. And that's the thing about not looking at your problem, but looking at the problem solver, looking at God. And, you know, being on one accord in Jesus, in God, not one accord in man or what man thinks. And that's where we get out of harmony. You know, when you think about a chord, you think about, like, say, for example, a musical instrument or a piano. When you play a chord, it's all different keys or different letter or different keys or different notes, but they're in harmony. And that's what it is we can be different. We can have our differences, but we can be as long as we're in the Lord and we're doing it unto God, not unto man. And I think sometimes we get caught up in tradition. We get caught up. That's the way it's always been. Instead of, like you said, being on one accord in Christ Jesus. And when you're in one accord in Christ Jesus, you can all be different. You can all be and face different situations, but still be in harmony with one another. The key is making Jesus the center of it all, focusing on him, not trying to understand why you're going through things, but just realizing, having that faith, being faithful over a few things, having that faith to know that God's got it. It's his church. It's not man's church. It's his church, and yielding to him, yielding everybody, agreeing at least to follow the Lord and be led by the Holy Spirit versus following man and then being out of harmony.
Amen. And it's easy to get out of that harmony if you're not, I want to call it, following the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, these things that the early church was dealing with, you know, it could have got out of hand, but they were on one accord, and they said, okay, we need to break down what happened. We need to see what, you know, Judas did and what happened. We need to talk about it, and we don't need to get bent out of shape, but as we talk about it, we need to get back to the business of church and make sure that we bring someone else in through the power of the Holy Spirit, so that most importantly, we can carry out the plan of God. And Dr. G, I think that is one of the challenges that the enemy always tries to bring about, is to distract us through humanness, human failures, human, you know, issues, to try to get us from carrying out the plan of God for the life of ministry in the church and for us individually and collectively. And so early on, God demonstrates that as serious as these things are, we can deal with them, and we can deal with them without getting distracted, and still carry on the mission of the church. Dr. G.
Well, you know, that's correct. Another key part of that is that within the church itself, you know, everyone has to understand the role that they play. Everyone needs to understand their position. And it's got to be led by the Holy Spirit. And too often, you know, we forget that the pastor is the spiritual leader. And the rest of the officers fall under his leadership. But within the body, within the church, you know, and I mean, I've dealt with so much of that early on in my pastoring, because you've got the deacons and the trustees, and you know, it appears that once a person gets a title, they become super important, and they think that everything is supposed to be run through them, and to some degree, yes. Some degree, no. You know, the pastor's got to get it from the Lord and then present it to the rest of the officers and the church. And it's up to the officers and the church to accept according to what the Spirit is saying and not go off to the left or the right, try and do their own thing, what they think. And, you know, what kills me with that stuff is too often, you know, they talk about what saith the Lord. You know, everybody wants to be the chief. Let the chief be the chief, and then bring it to the rest of you. Then you go in prayer, you talk about it. You know, no, everybody's not going to agree, but let the Lord worked through the pastor, start there, and go on down. But everybody needs their role and their places and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to them.
Mm-hmm. And it's so important that we have these type of teachings in the Bible to let us know that the challenges are going to come and situations are going to come that have to be dealt with. And like you said, you have to know your role and the role of leadership to deal with these issues. And don't think that, you know, it's just going to be smooth sailing all the time. It's not. It's something that here we see in the first chapter of the book of Acts, the early church is dealing with having to bring in one to be numbered with the other 11 apostles because basically there was someone who turned against Christ and he was crucified. And so that was the first order of business after Christ ascended. And I found that to be so interesting that in spite of that dramatic ascension, that after that, it was like, okay, get down to business. And mm-hmm. what that tells me, Sheila G., is that it's an everyday ministry. It's not a ministry just on Sunday, a ministry every other month or whenever we feel like it. But it's an everyday ministry dealing with the mundane, in and out, daily business of ministry that has to keep going in spite of the challenges of ministry. Sheila G.
No, and when you talk about that, the scripture that comes to my mind in order to stay in that everyday ministry, and it's seek ye first the kingdom mm-hmm. of God and all his mm-hmm. righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That means that every single day, every part of your life, you have to seek God first and his righteousness. So it's not mm-hmm. only speaking and saying, hey, Lord, I know you're there, but it's also seeking that righteousness, that right being right with God first. Then all the other things come second. What tends to happen is we seek the things first and then seek God to get his stamp of approval on it. But to stay in that ministry and stay every single day, not to be distracted, you have mm-hmm. to seek first. I think about when Jesus first started his ministry. You know, God raised him up, said, this is my son who is well pleased. Well, the first thing he did mm-hmm. was he went to yeah. the desert tempted by the devil.
Yeah.
Same thing. That was the beginning of his ministry as well. So that's a
yeah.
perfect example of it. And the way that he was able to fight off the devil, even in his fleshly and human weakness, was to continue to quote scripture, to scrote mm-hmm. to back. But in order for us to do that in ministry, we have to do the same thing. We have to be rooted and grounded in the Holy Spirit and in God's Word to be able to ward off the issues and the challenges or the darts of the enemy.
Amen. Amen. So let's look at this first, I would call it business or polity that your church had to deal with, and it was something. Look at verse 15, Acts 1:15. It says, "And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. He said, men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake for concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus." And so he, again, like you said, Sheila, referenced the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime that we are dealing with polity or church polity or situation in the church, we must needs reference the Word of God as our
right.
guide.
That's right.
It is the final authority. So if you read that in the NIV, it says, in those days Peter stood up among believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, brothers and sisters, the scripture had to be fulfilled in which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through David concerning Judas, who served as a guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in our ministry. So there was issues in the ministry. And this is what mature believers in God, believers in Jesus do, is they understand that everybody's not going to be, everybody in the church isn't in line with the word of God, is what I'm trying to say, Sheila J. Everybody in the church, even though he said they were numbered with them, he wasn't on one accord with them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you have the issues in the church. And it's so interesting to see that God dealt with that and his ministry kept going. Sheila G.
Amen. And everything that we go through, because we find that everybody in our, no one in our church is, our churches are perfect as well. So again, if you reference the word, it gives you a guidance to say that, okay,
yes,
but we can't judge each other, because even in the early church, not everybody was perfect. And but it's also telling us, but when you come across those imperfections, you fall to God's word. And once you point out God's word, then you allow the Holy Spirit to move within the congregation so that God's mission can continue to go forward. But again, it's providing guidance. So don't think that just because you're in church, just because everybody's crying, Lord, Lord, that life is going to be wonderful and perfect. And I think that's what the downfall is sometimes. Is we make people think that once they come to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, their life is going to be perfect, wonderful, nobody's going to hurt you or things like that. And it's like, no, what it does is you have God and you have a higher power than man, so that man will try to hurt you, but once you see first, God will help you and guide you through that pain, just as he's doing now, guiding them through that ministry. But you have to be open to receive it. The choice is ours at the end of the day.
Amen, amen. And again, that's that guide, the word of God, the Holy Spirit, is our guide. And so here Peter is going to follow that. Let's get into this a little bit more. In verse 18, it says, this is Acts 1:18. It says, now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity. Falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. That is very graphic in the Bible. I'll read this in the NIV. It says, with the payment he received for his wickedness, Judas bought a field. There he fell headlong, his body burst open, and all his intestines spilled out. Everyone in Jerusalem heard about this, so they called that field in the language Akeldama, that is, field of blood. And verse 20 says, for said Peter, it is written in the book of Psalms, may his place be deserted, that there be no one to dwell in it, and may another take his place of leadership. And so, basically, Dr. G, he went through and explained what had happened, how it coincided with the word of God. And when you go through with the word of God and you reference the word of God, again, it's the final authority. And so what it does is it takes out what thus says me and puts in what thus said the Lord. And the majority of the people that are in Christ, and Christ is in them, will be obedient to a leader who is sharing what thus said the word, what thus said the Lord in ministry. And I find that to be true, but when people begin to start leaning more to what thus said the me and what thus say I feel, that's when ministry gets in trouble. Dr. G.
No, you're right. And what people fail to realize is that, you know, Jesus came and he left everything on record for the Bible to be used as a guide. But the problem is people don't know enough of what's in the Word. We don't take the, you know, to study it, to get, you know, even a lot of preachers, you know, they'll pull it up when they get ready to preach. But then, you know, it's convenient to go on about their little merry lives and leave the Bible alone until something happens again. Then they'll pick it up and bring it back in. But in order to use the Word as a guide, we've got to know what's in it. And that's one of the major problems, I think, within the church. You know, too many people don't know enough of the Word. We don't study it. It takes too much effort, too much time. And everything that we need, God has put right there in that Word. But you got to take the time to get in it.
Amen. I agree with you 100%. And, you know, some of this stuff is very graphic of what happens when you disobey God. And I think sometimes it's not a popular message. Sometimes people don't want to hear it. But when you state the facts of the Word will stand by itself. And so Peter referenced the Word of God. He explained how this related to Judas. And after that, he continued in leadership in verse 21. He said, "Wherefore of these men, which are accompanied with us, all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection." And so after he presents the Word and explains what happened with Judas, he begins to say that now we have to have a replacement, and these were the qualifications for the replacement. And a lot of times people want to jump in ministry right away, and they're not qualified. And if unqualified people are allowed to be in place, there are great consequences, can be negative consequences to the ministry. You can use the example of corporate America, you can use the example of politics, whatever branch of government, the executive branch, whether it's the judiciary branch or whether it's the legislative branch in our Congress, our White House, and in our Justice Department. If you have people that are not qualified, there are negative consequences for the ministry or the mission or the people that they serve. And so it's important, Sheila G., that we adhere to the Word of God in our ministry. That, you know, Peter looked back and he said, you know, from the beginning, these folks were with us. Until Jesus ascended. And so we have to make these decisions based upon being on one accord with the Holy Spirit and just people walk with God. And sometimes people in ministry, because people give a lot of money or a lot of time, where they might look a certain way or talk well, you know, people will have the tendency to want to put these people in leadership instead of the people that God have walked with God and have the Holy Spirit and the wisdom of God to be in leadership. Sheila G.
Amen. But too, a lot of times people don't realize that being in ministry is not the glory and having people look up to you. And if you're truly been called into ministry, you are a servant, just like Jesus' servant. So those are the qualities And you have to be humble enough, one, to recognize that you don't know everything. Therefore, yes, you need to study God's word, because you're going to be in God's word, because you need to be a servant. And basically, you have to serve his word, his life, his direction, his obedience, his to others. And in order to serve that to others, you have to live that way yourself. But in order to live in obedience to the Lord, you have to understand God. So there are certain qualifications to be able to be qualified to do that. But the first thing is you have to have the humility and the knowledge to know that when God comes into ministry, it is for you to serve, not to be served.
Amen.
Amen. That's powerful right there. And you know, we have to be a servant, and so that was the quality that the church was looking for as far as leadership, people that are humble, a servant for God. And so, excuse me, in their search to fill the spot of Judas, in verse 23, it says, and they, this is Acts 1:23, it says, and they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And it goes on in verse 24, it says, and they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen. And I think that key, Dr. G, is that we want the one that has been chosen by God. And so as we go into prayer, as far as leadership, as far as appointing, ordaining, that we want God's choice, not the choice of man, because sometimes man, well, the Bible says man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And so we're praying that we would have the one that God chose. Dr. G?
Well, you know, you're right. And that with this whole business, you know, God has to be the one to select them. And I found... I've had two of my ministers who didn't really believe until the Lord convicted them. And then once he did, then they had to come back off that. Now, the Lord didn't call me. But the Lord knows who he wants and why.
Mm-hmm.
He may not always reveal it right away. And that's why it's important that we stay in prayer. You've got to... according to the Lord, you've got to be led by the Holy Spirit. And when God is ready for these individuals to come forward, then it's up to them. And to tap in on what Sheila was saying, too, it takes a certain type of commitment on their part, that once they understand that the Lord has called you, not man, not me, then you've got to be committed enough to do what has done to prepare yourself.
Amen. And so out of the 120 folks that were gathered there on the court, they came up with two, and they prayed that God would be the one, God's person would be chosen. And in verse 26 it says, and they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. And so here again, right after the ascension of Jesus, they're dealing with the polity or the business of the church so that the mission of the church can be carried out. And that's what I tell people, is it's not all about hooping and hollering and you know, carrying on Sunday, but there's a serious business side of ministry where things have to be carried out. And it's very clearly outlined here in the Bible that the apostles' number would be 12, and that because of the one falling short, that another one needed to be put in place by God, and so the ministry could continue. But I think people get tired of the mundane of ministry, and some people just come for emotional high. It's like a drug, and they come for emotional high. And, you know, when it gets down to the business or the difficulties of ministry, then you can't find hide nor hair of them.
Right.
But you know, aside from emotion, there's still ministry or work or servant, like you said, Sheila G, that needs to be done. And this is what was done right away after Jesus' ascension. Sheila G.
Amen. And as you were talking about it, I was thinking about how in the church, pastors may move on, they may leave, but when God wants that church to stay that church,
right.
He calls someone else from the ministry to slide into that position. And that is an illustration of what's here now, is that the human being may not be there, but that position, that calling, that order that God has put in place remains. And that's why you find you have churches that are like 170 years old, and they're still up and running, because as pastors moved on, it was the position that God wanted them to have, and then he continued to move on. But then there's sometimes where churches don't continue to go on, and sometimes that's because of man interjecting worldly things, which makes it very difficult when the spiritual leader leaves for another spiritual leader to come in because of things that the congregation has not been able to put in place to be on one accord. So, but God still will allow that spiritual leader to provide direction for those who are serious to help them to a church that is led by God. So either way, those that are reaching out and want to be part of God, that are true to God, he still finds a place for them to go, because God's church never dies.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Dr. G, you want to follow up with that?
I do, because I was just sitting here thinking that too often, you know, when pastors, whether they pass on or if they leave, then the search committee is put together. And it's funny how we get away from what the word says, what God, and then it becomes what we're looking for in the past. You know, we want a degree. He's got to be able to teach, to preach, to do this, to do that. I mean, I've been through it, and I mean, I understand this is the method that, you know, people use, but we've gotten away from what the word teaches,
the foundation
that God laid. And it becomes, you know, we want a well-known person with all this background, got to be married and blah, not realizing that married preachers can come in there and mess up too. Now, it's just crazy how, you know, people put all these other things, what they're looking for, in a pastor. Leaving God out completely.
Amen. It's important to stick with the word. And Peter stood up and he stayed with the word in order to carry out the plan of God, the ministry of God, and because they were obedient in that, if you go to chapter 2, that's when the Holy Spirit that was promised came and the church was born. And We discovered some difficult ground. I hope we didn't lose anybody, but a lot of times when people talk about the early church, they want to kind of blow through chapter one and jump to chapter two.
Right.
When the Holy Ghost comes.
Right.
And the miracle of people hearing the word of God in their own language. Mm-hmm. But they don't want to go through the mundane of seeing how things had to be carried out according to God's plan in order for them to get to the place to be on one accord, dealing with Judas, dealing with Jesus being crucified, dealing with the resurrection, dealing with all of these things that led up to the promise that he made, that the Father made, and that Jesus reiterated, that he would not leave them, but he would give them another comforter. And for now in chapter 2, for the Holy Spirit to come, and the church will be born, and the Spirit would no longer just rest upon them, but it would be in them and be with them and dwell with them. And just to go through that first chapter, it is something that is like a foundation, like Dr. G said. You got to have that foundation to understand that God's just not going to come when we want him to. He's going to come when we're on one accord and we're in his order, doing what he has outlined for us to do. And then once we're in that position to be blessed for higher direction or move forward in ministry, then this will happen. And it picks up in that verse 1 of chapter 2, and it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, where Pentecost means 50 days, after Jesus' resurrection, they were all with one accord, again, in one place. Sheila G.
You know, you were talking about that chapter 1 and then leading into the first verse of chapter 2, it made me think about the cycle of God's church, how things will be up and down and up and down. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact that, man, we have to remember that these disciples were human and they had really just gone through a lot. And the fact they had to deal with the situation of Judas. You know, the human in them probably didn't want to discuss it, but they knew they had to talk about it because here was a cycle of the church that was broken, that a part of their membership was broken and gone wayward. But God had commanded them to move forward. So in order to move forward, they had to lean and trust on the Holy Spirit to get it back together, to come back together before they could be on one accord and have the day of Pentecost. And that is the cycle of God's church today, you know, especially when we've been passive and passionate for 23 years. And I've seen three full cycles of the church where it found always been there from day one, but where it went through a season of God was like, okay, you know what? Something's out of place here. I gotta clean it up. So it went through that cycle, and once God cleaned it up and cleaned out and moved on, we were back to that whole being on one accord, giving God the glory, and everybody. But whenever that comes apart, that's when God has away, then you have to deal with it. You can't just act like it didn't happen, just like they act like the situation with Judas didn't happen, but you deal with it, and you deal with it in a godly manner. You don't focus and stay stuck in that situation, but you trust the Lord that, okay, God, I don't know why this is going on, don't know why this is happening, but we're going to trust you, and we're going to continue to praise and glorify you. And that's what chapter 1 is about. It's talking about how you maintain the life cycle of a church so that it continues to go on, because man has his faults, Man will die. Man will do things wrong. Man will pass on. The leadership may pass on. And this is the foundation of how you continue on. You don't just stop because part of the membership is not there.
Amen. Amen. It's a very important lesson. It's a very important that we study this because it lets you know that everything's not going to go all the time. It's not going to go well all the time.
Right.
But you have the word there as your guide to guide you through those troubled waters and those choppy waters and those difficult days. I'm reminded of Dr. King when he said, "I might not get there with you. We have some difficult days ahead, but we as a people will get through the promised land." You have to understand that you know the enemy is real, and we're human and challenges exist.
Right.
But if we stay in on one accord in the Word of God, we can and we will get through these challenges. Dr. G, you want to comment on that before we go to the phone line?
Yeah, you know, when Shula was talking, I was thinking, and I had to learn that. I had to go through it, and I had to live through it, and I had to understand. And a friend of mine that passed away on last year, and, you know, I shared with him. He had been pastoring longer than I had, and I shared with him because he came over for a homecoming service. And I shared with him what I was going through and what the church was going through. And he told me point blank, don't worry about him. Let him go. And he explained why. Because you can't sit there and dwell on who's left the church, why they left it. You can't worry about that. You've got to continue on doing what the Lord wants you to do.
That's right.
Because if you stay there in the past, you know, the church can't grow. It can't become what the Lord would have it to be. And I had to learn that. And I'm at a point now in my pastoring that, you know, I'm enjoying the ride. We may not have the same people, but God has replaced those with other people that are glad to be there. And so, you know, you've got to go according to how the Lord lead you, but you cannot dwell in the past.
That's right.
You've got to move on. You got to take what you have and go on and do what God say do.
Amen.
Amen. That's life. You can explain it any more better. It's like you have to do what God wants you to do. You can't dwell on what happened yesterday. Because yesterday's gone.
It's gone.
And you had to move on in today because that's all we have is today.
That's right.
We can't jump into we can't pull back yesterday, and we can't pull into tomorrow. But what we have today is what we have to deal with. I like that study of that first chapter that God, you know, he said, "All right, let's get serious about ministry. You know, let's not get too emotional. Let's not get too up, too high, or get too low. Let's be steadfast and continue like Jesus was for his 33 years of ministry, 33 years on the earth. It's believed he was in his early 30s, and he had 3 years of earthly ministry. But he stayed steadfast, and that is the message that in spite of the ups, in spite of the downs, that we had to stay steadfast, and if you do that, God will show himself strong, show himself mighty, that there's nothing that catches him by surprise, there's nothing too hard for him, or there's nothing that's impossible with him. If we remain faithful, that he will bring us through. So we're gonna go to the phone line, and we're just going to ask the question about steadfast ministry. What do you think about steadfast ministry when it's not all, when it's sometimes it's raining, sometimes it's snowing, when it always isn't
sunny and warm, what do you think about steadfast ministry, or what does steadfast ministry mean to you? We're going to go to first caller, last four digits, 1411. 1411, you're on the air. Tell me about steadfast ministry.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Good evening.
It's a good question. For me, I mean, I think it's just about consistent loyalty, understanding that it is a process. I think there are different types of ministries in the church. You obviously have the ministry that everybody knows about calling to speak the word of God, whether you're a minister or you're the pastor of the church, but you also have the music ministry and all these other ministries. But I think the bottom line still remains the same, that it is a process. I know you guys mentioned, you know, churches have different seasons, and you could be up one day, down the next. And, you know, as long as we have people inside the church, there's always going to be that X factor as far as people who can kind of stay committed to the process. And I think a lot of the lack of steadfast in the church is related to people who have unrealistic expectations about what it means to be a Christian. So when I look at steadfast ministry, I look at people who first and foremost understand, have a full understanding of what it takes to be a Christian, what it takes to be in the ministry, any type of ministry, what it takes to be in the church, and understand that you're going to have different seasons. You're going to have different points where you're going to have chaos going on. You're going to be hit with all types of adversity, from losing memberships to losing pastors to having an influx of members and not really knowing what to do. You're going to be dealt with all of that, but understanding that you have to deal with it and you have to go through that process, and ultimately you'll come out on the other side, because ultimately God intended for us to go to church to ultimately remember about what it was all about and to try to continue that legacy. But the only way to do it is to be faithful, is to be loyal to that process. But it's just like anything else, you know, we say in this world, if how bad do you want it? You know, how hard are you willing to work to get into heaven? Because that's the ultimate goal, is to get into heaven. And as a minister, you know, you're required to know the word of God, to speak the word of God, and get help people get closer to God. Because I think Pastor Gregory said, you know, I can't preach you into heaven. I can't pray you into heaven. So I have to utilize what he gives me, what God gives him to give me, and then I have to take that and make it my own. But, you know, it's a two-step process. You know, there's surviving out in this world and trying to do what's right and being steadfast in that approach. But then there's another approach about maintaining the church, the upkeep of the church, the well-being of the church. And I'm not just talking about the physical structure. I'm talking about when we're all in church fellowshipping together, we're like a business. We're like an organization. We're like a family. We have to stick in it through thick and thin together. And I think that's why now you have a lot of churches in this day and age, from the top to the bottom, are closing their doors and falling out because there's no commitment. As soon as it gets rough, people want to bail out. As soon as the pastor sees the chairs aren't filled or the offering plate's a little light, guess what? He's ready to roll, or now he's not preaching with the same enthusiasm and passion he was when the seats were filled and the money was coming in. That's part of the process. You know, because if it was easy, everybody would do it. But we know that being a Christian is very challenging. It's very demanding because you have to be on it all day, every day. And we struggle with it, and that's okay. But, again, it's a process. So when I look at steadfast ministry, I look at one individual, multiple individuals who are truly committed. I mean, it's easy to say I'm committed, I'm all in. But when do you find out who's really committed? Not when everything's going great. You find out when things are going down. You find out when the church light bill is due or the church needs to be cleaned. Or you find out when, you know, pastor's sick or going out of town, but then nobody shows up the Sunday that he's missing church. That's when you find out who's really committed and who's all in. And I've said it before, I've never been a numbers guy. I've never been a quantity guy. I've always been focused on quality. I'd rather have two real people that are committed and all in, and I will go to war with any day, as opposed to a church filled with fake people who smile in your face and stab you in the back, or just any aspect of my life. I've never, ever been caught up in that, because I know to be steadfast, and I've tried to live by that motto in all that I do, and I thank God that I've been able to do it thus far. But I know in my 37, soon to be 38 years of life on this earth, I still have a ways to go. I still have much that I need to learn, much that I need to do, and I don't know what God has in store for me, but I'm not going to overthink that. I'm just going to let whatever happens, happens, and worry about what I can control. And guess what I can control? I can control my effort. I can control getting up every day and being tired and saying, you know what, God woke me up this day, so who am I to say, well, I'm going to just lay around the house and do nothing. I'm going to take my butt to church and do what I need to do. Because that's the commitment. And if you're committed to God, guess what? he's going to be committed to you, and then he'll start opening doors and doing things for you. But
yeah.
commitment is a big word. Steadfast is a big word, and a lot of people toss it around and say it's easy. But like I said, if it was easy, we'd have no churches nowadays closing their doors. We would have chaos and friction in the church. But we have
mm-hmm.
that because you have people who aren't steadfast, who don't understand
mm-hmm.
that it's a process and it's a continuous process. You're never really going to get to the end until you get to heaven. So I tell people,
mm-hmm.
use that word very lightly, because at the end of the day, your actions are truly going to show if you're committed. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comments tonight. We're going to go to the next caller. Excuse me. Last four digits, 1741. 1741, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Evening.
Good evening.
Steadfast Ministry is... it's ministry that take not only commitment but a surrender of yourself unto the Lord, and be willing to learn, and be willing to make some mistakes, because you are going to make some mistakes,
mm-hmm.
and you continue to pray and ask God, okay, I got this wrong, this didn't go too well. You know, show me the way. You
mm-hmm.
will continue asking the Holy Spirit to be your teacher and to be your guide. So you're depending on the Holy Spirit and not depending on yourself. And
mm-hmm.
it's we grow in grace, so it's going to be a slow process.
Mm-hmm.
It's also going to be where we're going to be moved from our comfort zone.
Right.
A lot of times we're going to have to do things that we don't really want to do, or we don't feel comfortable doing, wherein we're going to have to trust the Lord, because he knows
mm-hmm.
what's best for us better than we do. And then a steadfast ministry is also when you want to do God's will and not your will. And because
mm-hmm.
if we please God, we're going to please man.
Mm-hmm.
But a
Amen.
Lot of times we're so concerned about pleasing man that we forget all about
Uh-oh.
That God is supposed to be the head person here. God is in charge. That whatever I'm doing, I'm doing it for the glory of God and not for myself and not for man. So, Lord Jesus, take whatever I got and work with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because what might seem like the least to somebody else, a little bit to somebody else, it probably more than enough for God.
Amen.
Right.
As long
right.
as we do it from our heart, and you know, as long
mm-hmm.
as we're working for the Lord from our heart, and like I said before, we're going to make mistakes. We're not going to get it right, because we're not perfect
right.
people.
Right.
But we are striving to get it right.
Yeah.
And striving to ask God to lead us, help me to do what you want me to do. And it's until we die, we're going to always be striving and asking
mm-hmm.
God to help us. At least we should be.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to the next caller. Last four digits, 2409. You're on the air.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, I am a very loyal person myself, and I really don't care if it was just me, First Lady, and the pastor. If that's a church, I'm down with that. The key is just having proper guidance, you know, to just lead you. I really was heartbroken from an old church that just didn't want to do what God wanted them to do, and then had the members leading the pastor in a terrible way. And all I could do
mm-hmm.
is I just bad me, and it broke my heart a little bit to see him fall from grace like that, and then allow the devil to step in and just wear him out. You know, for many years when I saw him, he always looked young. Now, you know, when God has been removed from him, he looks so haggard and old. And I still to this day still can pray for him, because sometimes when people are lost, you have to be steadfast in prayer.
Amen.
So I continue praise for him, but I'm happy where I am today. I'm happy that God let me be steadfast and let me leave, and let me leave early before they damaged me, because I was a babe in Christ at that church. And seeing the way things were going, I just told my aunt and my uncle that I just had to go. I couldn't take no longer the abuse, and I didn't want to be in a place where I'm angry with God because I thought God placed me there. But God placed me there individually to let me see what I needed to see and for me to leave. When he told me to leave and he yelled for my voice and he told me in his own voice, like he wanted me out of there. He said, go. And I listened and I just left. And I told my aunt and uncle, I pray that you guys move yourself. God finally removed them and now we where we need to be and we're steadfast where we need to be. And we have found up the home where we have people that are like-minded that want to do God's work. I don't care if it's the deacons. I don't care who run the church. But if it ain't godly, then we can't vote on that. We can't be part of that. We have to put God first in everything we do. And let's stay steadfast in that, putting God first.
Amen.
And then everything will come to all of us.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for your comment tonight. Bring us our next caller. Last four digits of 3343
on there. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good to hear everybody, but I guess I'm too old to think any further than what my Bible says. So I'm steady faithful towards the church. I get angry with church when I get angry with me, not the church, but because I can't get there. Or when I get older, the old pain started riding, and you can't ride no more. And you lay out and you sit there and you read the Bible. The Bible is not going to get you to church. But yes, still, you feel angry to get to church and stuff. You put your aches and pains to get to church. So I steadfast to the minister that we have to have today. And if I don't make it there, I cry to myself inside. But I do grab my book and just read on and read on until I get to the where I want to go. And get satisfied and be thankful that I got this far. Because I got so many that didn't make it this far.
Amen.
I'm so thankful that I made this far. And I said, thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you for your comment tonight. And go to one more caller. Last four digits, 7639. 7639, you're on the air.
Good evening.
Good evening.
First of all, you have to stay the course. You know, no matter what, don't get up and leave your church. Be a leader, not a follower. People may look to you for deciding what they do. Now, if the Spirit of God is in you and the Holy Spirit is in you and you lead correctly, you can help other folks in the church. They'll look at you to see how you react when things go bad. When they go good, you know, you don't have to always get upset. I mean, I know some things in our lives are going to make us upset, and maybe even some things in the church are going to make you upset. But deal with it. Don't go off on a tangent and complaining and running away from the problem, because wherever you go, if you run from one church, that problem may still be there at the next church, and it may be worse. What I like about my church is we have great leadership, and we have some pretty good leaders and very good followers, you know. So what we lack in certain things, God will bless us and will give us other things. But it's all about being patient. You know, you got to wait on the Lord and be of good courage. You know, you can't wait on the Lord if you decide to leave the first time something happens. You know, churches break up because not everybody is in the church is committed to God. But I can honestly say now I believe folks are committed at New Birth Baptist Church. I know when I was younger, and I've been in New Birth for 38 years. Since I was 16 years old. So I know when I was younger, oh no. You know, you had chaos in there, you know. You had people in there wanting to do what they wanted to do, but you know, we have a pretty good group of quality people in there. We may not always have quantity, but I can honestly say we have quality. And all those quality people, we have leadership in there, you know. This is how you keep Satan at bay, you know. You don't let certain things bother you. People may say things, people may try to do mm-hmm. things, but when you stay in the course, you know, you giving God the victory. Now, you can't Amen. God can't get the victory and the glory if you doing all stuff that you want to do, say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And, you know, you going around behind people's back and talking about them and saying, you know, they're fake and they're this and they're that. You know, we are here to love everybody and to show love. You're not going to show no love, you know, when you arguing and bickering with somebody. Don't leave. Stay there. Hit the problem head on. You know,
mm-hmm.
don't hit nobody. Don't beat up nobody. We need to love and talk to people and respect people. You know, but
Amen.
I like the fact that God is at New Birth Baptist Church.
Amen.
You know,
Amen.
We've had some issues, but nothing so serious that we, you know, those of us that say we are leaders couldn't talk about it. Now, we've had some situations where people left. Well, ain't too much you can do about it, you know. Maybe it's God leading them. You know, you got to think like that. Maybe it's God leading them. But I will say this. I said in certain situations, I know God ain't leading them. It's them leading them. And this is what has got to stop, you know. When you blame somebody, you got to look in the mirror at yourself, take the plank out of your own eye. Then you can help mm-hmm. somebody with a plank in their eye. Thank you.
Amen.
All right. Well, thank you for your comment tonight. Sheila G., you want to give some final comments and close us out in prayer?
I just want to say that I've been blessed by all the comments tonight and that we all just need to continue to be on one accord in unity, realizing that there's going to be ups and downs in our lives, but as long as we're following God's direction that he points us, that we will all be okay. To God be the glory. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you once again for allowing us to have another Bible study night. We thank you, Lord, for just showing us in your word the foundation, the true foundation of the church, and not skipping over chapter 1 and going directly to the day of Pentecost, Lord, but recognizing that you put the foundation, and the foundation is you, Lord, and that when things are out of order, you're still right there, and that it's important for us to lean and depend on you, recognizing that man is imperfect, so man will fall, Lord. I pray that you will put it in each and every one of our hearts to just focus on you and lean on you and be led by you. In your precious name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you on next Thursday night. Wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Amen. Good night.
Amen. Good night.